I was actually reading your bio, and it said to me, Marilla was the first product of your own remixing. What were some of the challenges going into mixing this track?
It wasn't really my first track, but it was the first one that was really, actually, I really finished and was actually proud of it. It was a sound that, oh, this is what I set out to do, and I finally got it. The challenge to doing this one wasn't really much. I sat down, did the melody first, and just kind of built everything around it. Unfortunately, my hard drive crashed midway through making that track, so I had to recreate it based on just an MP3 export that I had from it. I just had to remake every element just because the actual data file of it was corrupted because it crashed during a save. So in this particular way of, in this particular method of me producing, at the time it was on a PC, and that meant very bad things for the actual song, so I just had to redo it.
And now you use a Mac, I assume.
Oh, yes.
The last days of the PC right there.
Oh, I mean, some people use PC and swear by it. I certainly don't.
Has it happened to you again?
Yep, it happened on my laptop, but I didn't lose any music. I just lost all my photos from the last 2 years of gigs, which actually was not that great either. But it was also happened on an HP laptop.
Ah.
Let that be a lesson learned. No more PCs in the house.
By 26, you were already remixing some big names like Christina Aguilera, Pink, Daniel Bedingfield, to name a few. How would you say you've changed since Marilla to remixing those big names?
So back then, back in New York, my business partner, well, I guess you could say my production partner, business partner, or just a friend of mine, he was working for Red Distribution, which was a subsidiary distributor under Sony. He had a lot of connections for getting these type of deals. And in New York at the time, these are the only kind of deals you're going to have. Remixing trance was not an option at all, or really making trance in New York was not really the best move. Just for the experience and stuff like that, he would call me and say, oh, I have a deal, we're going to do a mix for Christina Aguilera or Pink. And, you know, obviously I jumped at the opportunity. And at the time, the money was pretty decent still in the music business for remixing. So it would be stupid not to. Great experience.
What I find interesting about DJs who are remixing, and you remix all these big artists and even probably score them some great number one hits, but you never get to meet them.
You never get to meet them. No, I would have given my certain body parts to meet Christina Aguilera. Yeah, I don't blame them. I think everybody's within their rights to want that.
Would you say from Marilla to now, you've definitely grown as a DJ and as a producer?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, as a DJ, especially when I first started out, I was very stage fright, and I was probably shaking, at least for the first five tracks of every set I would play. Now I feel probably the most comfortable at any time, apart from in the studio, in the DJ booth. So that's a major element of growth. And sound-wise, over the past 3 years, I feel I'm a lot more comfortable in the studio when I set out, and I think I have a sound in my head. I usually know how to make it, so I'm very happy about that.
Why would you say you're more comfortable in a DJ booth than a studio?
I don't know. In a DJ booth, you're kind of rewarded for just going nuts and being yourself.
So in a studio, do you feel a different kind of pressure?
It's a different kind of thing. You know, you have people contacting you, going over projects that you're working on and stuff like that. But for me, in the studio is the most relaxing side of things. So it's just kind of two solaces that I find. You know, in the studio, you're the more relaxed, cool. And then in the DJ booth, you're free to party it up. And
you want to focus more on your original productions?
Yes. As a matter of fact, just after the tour, mid-April, when I get back, I'm going to be starting work on an album, and the idea has even been thrown around that I do a double CD album. So one CD would be trance and club bangers, and then the other CD would be more experimental, and me trying to expand my range on that second CD of the album. It would be all completely originals, but I may be doing several collaborations with friends and other producers.
Are there any other producers you really want to hook up with?
I would love to work with Armin on another collaboration. We did a collaboration for his album, and I love his melodic ideas, and he's an excellent producer. So I definitely hope in the future we can hook up and do another collaboration.
Do you look up to Armin as a producer? Is he like your idol of DJs or producers?
My main idol I hope he doesn't hear this, but my main idol is Paul Van Dyke. Not necessarily for the latest album. I'm more of a fan of the PVD that we knew back in the early 2000s when he was releasing tracks like We Are Alive. And
what are you looking forward to about coming to Melbourne again, Sean?
The vibe, absolutely amazing. I remember the last time, it's just everything is just smiles. Everybody's in a good mood. You know, unlike some other countries, I'm not even going to name what countries, but there's never really elements of problems going on at the gigs, and you never really see people have a little too much fun, if you know what I mean. And it's everything is under control, and it's just an amazing time. It's really great.
And what's the best gig you've ever had?
A State of Trance 300 in Holland last year. I thought that was absolutely amazing. Was it last year? I think it was. Where they did a free party. It was to commemorate the 300th episode of Armin's A State of Trance. And they did a free party on a Thursday during the week, and 8,000 people showed up, and or something like that. And they actually had to turn away over 1,000 people at the gate because they couldn't even fit them in this field.
Wow.
Then the cool thing about it was just looking over the crowd, seeing all the different countries' flags that people would have brought with them from their respective countries, and you see how many countries are actually present.
What sort of feeling do you get when you see all that unity together on the same roof?
It's unreal, because I mean, you don't really see that in too many other scenes. You just don't. It's not like people fly to other countries all the time for rock concerts and things like that, because they know that that band, for example, is going to come to their country, so they're not flying all over the place. With dance music, not only trance, people are flying all over the place. I mean, you have people from America, in groups coming over just to Holland to go to Trans Energy, and then they're going to go back home. I mean, this is a little bit more than driving a half an hour to go to your...
Some of the DJs performing at Trans Energy are Judge Jules, Van de Van Dorn, Richard...
Richard Duran,
I knew it was something that we do. Well, I was going to chuck a van in there, but I wasn't sure. So Richard Duran, have you performed with these guys before?
Yeah, almost everybody, and that's what's really cool. That's the other reason I'm really excited about this tour. At the very least, we've all met each other before, and if not met each other, we're all actually pretty good friends. You know, I've become basically best friends with Simon Patterson. I'm really good friends with John Askew. Ferry Corson I've met multiple times. Marco V I've met multiple times. Judge Jules, of course, as well. We're going to have a great time.